Lord, we just invite you again. We just ask you to prepare us, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, to be open to new ways of thinking, Lord, in creative ways. So I hope that prepares people for what's coming. And we just ask you to open your word to us and open us to your word in the name of Jesus. Tonight, we're going to title this, Replace the Face.
There is a God.
Okay, we start out with Colossians 3, 23 through 25. 23 through 25. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. So we've been talking about love. We're just going to talk about another aspect of love tonight. And, you know, I've read that scripture a lot of times, and I've taken it thinking whatever you do, do it like you're doing it for God. And that's not what it says. It does not say unto the Lord. It says do it as to the Lord, as if you're doing it to God himself and not to the person. So it's not what we're doing for him. When, however we treat other people, he takes it personal as though we're treating him that way. Because there's a little bit of God in every single person. So that's why I came up with a simple little way to remind me about that called Replace the Face. Instead of the person you're facing who's irritating you probably and angering you, just imagine Jesus stepping in between you and that person and just put his face there. And however you're treating them, pretend that it is Jesus, because in a way it is, because that's how he takes it. So to... Guilty, guilty, guilty. You know, before you leave here tonight, you're going to find out how very easy it is to love your enemies. It's really easy. No, but even when somebody who loves God is acting bad, it is the enemy in them. It's the enemy spirit in them. You're really facing the enemy every time you're facing hostility. That was Colossians 3, 23 through 25. And now we're going to Matthew 25. So just go there instead. Matthew 25. This is a long section. I'm going to ask Harvey to read it because my throat doesn't hold up that well. 31 through 46.
Okay. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
So, Jesus personalized. He personalized, saying, what you do to others, you do to me. And what you don't do to others, you don't do to me. He made it very, very personal. In this section, he said, they that treat other people as though they're Jesus, they inherit the kingdom prepared for them. You know, the kingdom of God is love and mercy. And that's what heaven's going to be all about, love and mercy. So he said, the people who live in love and mercy are ready to move into heaven and live in the kingdom of God. That's what he's trying to mature us into being able to do. Now, he's talking about even the least of the brethren when we treat them that way. So if we could practice, replace the face on whoever's in front of us, then we could do all things as though we're doing it to Jesus himself. But how do we do that when the one in front of us is hostile and angry, offensive, hurting us? Sometimes even the brethren do that. It's difficult enough to love each other when we're being nice. So when we have differences, you know, that becomes a big challenge. Like all the wives, can you relate that your husband's ever upset you or take you for granted? Or yep. Speak to you like maybe you're supposed to be the house slave or the maid?
Yep.
Nah. Husbands, I'm sure, never can relate to the verse, better to dwell on the rooftop than with a brawling woman. Even with our own mate, sometimes it's nobody's saying amen. Smart men. And I know the children would never be the cause of us yelling or, you know, treating anybody bad. But really, the closer you are to someone, it's funny, but the closer you are to somebody, the harder it is sometimes to treat them well. Because, you know, a stranger could say the same thing and it doesn't hurt your feelings like when it's somebody you care about. So it hurts more, and then we end up being nice to strangers and talking bad to the ones at home because, you know, at the end of the day, you're just tired, and sometimes you just let that out on people at home. So how do we treat somebody like Jesus when they don't act like Jesus? Do we just let it go? Play a martyr and never confront? No, that's not the point. God cares about relationship, and he wants us to be open and honest and real and confront issues, and especially discipline children. But the point is the way that we do it. Tone of voice we're speaking in, you know, the spirit that we're doing it in. So, Stella, if you could, I know it's kind of hard to apply that to children because you don't discipline Jesus. But you don't discipline Jesus, so that's a little different, you know. But still, if you think, would I talk to Jesus this way?
Right.
Would I do it in this spirit? Would I do it in this tone of voice? You know, kids grow up and someday all of a sudden they're an adult and you're wishing you had a closer relationship with your own child. But that's formed when they're little. That's formed when they're in your home. Now they're grown and you're saying, I want them to be like a friend. And they're holding on to some offenses and hurts and things that occurred. In same, you know, with a husband, with a wife, with sisters and brothers, if we don't talk to them as kind and respectful as we would a guest in our home, then we're destroying the relationships. But if we can think of it as how I speak to you, I am speaking to Jesus because he's in you. And he takes it very personal. So this replace the face, just kind of imagine you're talking straight to Jesus. So an even more difficult scripture is Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The word perfect doesn't mean perfection. That word perfect means be completed, be finished, be grown up and matured in the character of God. That's what we're striving for right now in our studies is, how do I learn to love? How do I grow in character? How do I become ready for the kingdom of God? How can I start living in that kingdom right now? It's a kingdom of love. And the way to grow in God is to let God live in us and through us toward other people. The rule of love is the most important rule in his whole kingdom. So even when our brethren are treating us bad, we have to see that as the enemy of God, because that spirit and the one we love, that spirit is the enemy. So it's always the enemy we're dealing with when anybody is offensive or irritating. It is the enemy, not the person. So the first thing we have to do is replace the face and know that we, you know, these are not just things in our relationship with each other. These are things getting ready for persecution that's coming. When the persecution comes, we need to be ready to face those enemies with the love. And that is what we get to practice right now on people that we do love when we're irritated with them. Because that's what's going to be the testimony of Christ, is facing persecution with love. Jesus takes it very personal, and he rewards us greatly when we do it. So when we think of the word love as an emotion, that verse is impossible. Love your enemies. You cannot feel affection even for somebody you love when they're acting ugly. You sure can't feel affection. So if we're defining love as just an emotion, then that makes it totally impossible. Why does God tell us to do something that's impossible? So it's our interpretation of love, again, that needs to be modified. There's different meanings. We talked about this on Sunday. Like the Greek word for the definition of love is the G25. We're going to say G25 over and over. So realize 25 is less than 26. 25 is not the love that describes God. G26, the Greek word 26, is agape love, which describes the whole character of who God is. That's where we find that agape love, that unconditional, overwhelming, overpowering, never-ending love of God. And that's who he is. The G25 love is actually a verb. It's love in expression. It's how to show love. It's the choice to act in love rather than have to feel it. And it could describe feeling. It could describe emotion. So it is love displayed by action or emotion. So the description of this G25 type of love actually comes from three words that were put together. And that gives it a wide, various meaning. It can mean social politeness. It can mean just being kind. It can mean I'm fond of you. I have affection for you. So it can mean a lot of different things. But it is some either emotional expression or it is just an act of kindness. So that's how we can face the enemy when it doesn't matter if we like him or not. That's how we can love the enemy, by a choice of doing kindness. And the whole time you're being kind to the enemy, you don't have to like him. Nobody likes hate. Nobody likes anger. Nobody likes cruelty and accusations. We're not supposed to like that enemy. So when that enemy is speaking through someone, of course we don't like him. So if we've been saying, I can't love my enemy because I can't stand him, that doesn't matter. What God is asking is for us to choose to be kind to him. Choose to be kind. So when God tells us to love one another, using this description of love, it's simply a choice. It's behavior control. The Lord described as love, agape love. He's the person of love. And because he is love, he also chooses to do things, acts of love. He has a time that he feels emotion for us. He has times he doesn't feel emotion for us. I bet God has times he doesn't like us. When we're acting ugly, I don't think God is going, oh, my cute little Glenn. I just want to cuddle you. No, God maybe doesn't always like us when we misbehave.
Right.
But he still chooses to treat us right, treat us kindly. Even in discipline, he still treats us kindly. It's really important to understand that difference. It's to understand that God also loves us in the G25 type of love, by choosing what he's doing for us, in spite of how we're acting sometimes. If we can own that truth, we can choose to love people by how we treat them, not by how we feel about them. And that would remove all that guilt. When you say, God told me to love my enemy and I'm trying, but I can't feel it, it would remove all that beating yourself up for what you can't feel, because you can't control what you feel. But you can control what you do. And it helps if you put the face of Jesus on what you're doing. After you choose, and then you still have these negative emotions or thoughts about the person, then you can just give it to God. It's his part to change your heart. It's his part to deal with the person. You know, I gave you the whole study twice before Sunday got here.
Agapeo is different than agape?
Yes. Agapeo is the 25 one.
I thought
yes.
That was
phileo. No, phileo is
wow.
Affection. Phileo is affection.
Okay.
Yep. So agapeo
is the act of love. It could contain emotion. It doesn't have to.
Choose to be kind for God's sake.
It is showing love. It becomes the verb. God is love. God chooses to show us his love. It's our behavior of it showing love. Not feeling it, but showing it.
Showing
love through your actions. Yeah, through actions. So one thing that makes us miserable is wanting the offender to see what they've done wrong to us, want to argue with them, want to make them understand how they've made us feel. And the truth is, no matter how hard you try, you will never make somebody see how you feel. You know, I think women are more guilty of that because they want to fix everything. The man says, I apologize, can't we let it go? You know, you beat me to death with it. I just want you to get it. So it'll never happen again. You know, let's fix the problem. If you really understand, you wouldn't do it again. And you've done it like 500 times. So let's fix it this time. That's what we do. Not because we want to nag, but because we want to solve the problem. We want them to understand how we felt. so that it doesn't keep repeating. Well, it doesn't matter. That just goes on and on and on, and it doesn't fix anything. We can't make anybody understand how we feel. And we need to turn it over. We can't explain how we feel, why we took offense, and then give it into God's hands, but do it respectfully. Sometimes we need to go somewhere and get our peace back, because it's hard to do that when emotions are stirred. I don't know how to put that in a better sentence, but it's displaying love in action no matter what you feel. Because you could feel it and you might not feel it, but it's displaying, acting in love no matter how you feel.
I want you to say that again.
Displaying love in action no matter how you feel.
It was all good you said that last part.
No matter how you feel?
Yeah.
we're going to deal with that too, because does it matter how our kids feel when we tell them to be nice? That's behavior. If we went back to the original Colossian verse, it said, those that have done wrong will receive for the wrong they've done. So in other words, we don't have to make people pay. That's God's problem to deal with them. But hopefully we get mature enough to pray that they repent for their sake, so that they don't pay, they just change. We need to learn how to pray, not God, go get them, I'm turning them over to you, beat them up, but God, help them see what they've done so that they change and they don't have to pay. That's what we really want. But I want to share some scriptures of love and action by choice rather than emotion. But these verses are where God himself talks about his act of love as a G25 love. God actually chooses to love in action. Okay, look at John 3:16. That's a really impressive one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word love, God so loved the world, is the G25 love. It didn't say God so agape loved the world. It said he showed his love. Now, I'm sure he wasn't so in love with the men of the world that were all so wicked, but God chose to save them. And that was the G25 love. God does not ask us. God is agape. God is agape. God is the everlasting, patient, long-suffering, bear all things. That's who he is. That's who he is. And there's many ways that he expresses who he is to us. Sometimes by being long-suffering. Sometimes by being patient with us. Sometimes by just doing what's best for us. Sending his son to rescue us. So God does not ask us to have agape love toward people. He doesn't. Because he is the only one that can love that way. He asks us to behave ourselves and act in love toward people. Act in good behavior and kindness toward people.
So you're saying all the words where it says, love one another.
Yes.
The new commandment I give unto you.
Hold on, We can't be God. God is agape love. He's describing himself with agape love. Sometimes his love flows through us, and we get to experience who he is and how awesome it is for that kind of love to move through our heart. It's amazing when he does that. And we know it's beyond our ability. It's God. Now, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Every single word was the G25. God wants you to be kind to other people as he has been kind to us. That's how you should love one another in this kindness. We should be kind to them. We should be respectful to them. We should do what's best for them. We should treat them well as God has treated us well. God has been patient with us, then let's be patient with people. You are making sense. And what it comes down to actually is realizing how we treat people is so important to Jesus that he takes it personal. It's as though you do it to him. He says, you literally are doing it to me because I live in that person. Yeah, we may need to go in a bathroom and ask him to help us calm down before we deal. Yeah, because impulse gets us in a lot of trouble. Emotions get us in a lot of trouble. But again, God says, the way I have loved you. Now, if we trade that word out, treat others the way I treat you. I used to replace the face. I didn't say it that way. But I used to try to tell myself, would I speak to my friend the way I'm speaking to my husband? Would I speak to my friend the way I'm speaking to my child? No. You know, we say, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. You do help it with other people. You don't talk to other people that way. So why do you talk to somebody you really love that way? You know? Why do we think it's okay to speak differently to them than we would to a friend? We can help it. We do help it. When we have parents and we get in trouble, we help it. We behave. And we expect our kids to help it and behave. Doesn't matter how you feel, you're not going to talk to me like that. Just back off, calm down, and think about it before you speak. That's what we tell them to do. So we need to tell ourselves to do that too. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men that you are my disciples, disciplined follower, if you have love one to another. G25.
No,
behavior.
Agape. Nope.
Oh. That was agape. Oh, that one was agape?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought I looked it up, really. I love this next section of scripture because here's the promise that we can abide in agape love in God by continuing in the choice of the G25 behavior love. John 15:9. As, in the same way, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is Jesus talking. Continue in my love, agape. Stay in the agape love of God, in relationship with him. So the same way the Father has behaved toward me, I have behaved that way toward you. So continue in my agape love. Stay inside of me in relationship, in the fullness of his agape love on you. And you'll be able to behave better with other people. The behavior love. It's as we stay in relationship with Christ, we're able to treat people better. Because when he loves on us, then we can like ourselves and we can like others. Then he says, if you keep my commandments, what is that? To be nice to each other. Then you can abide in my love, the agape love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. So the commandment is to be kind to one another, treat each other well. So simplify it. What did he tell us to do? Choose to be kind. Just choose to be kind to people. Control your behavior. You don't have to like them. And if we do that, we get rewarded with more agape love. So you give a little love and you get the big love back. God will reward you. He will pour out his love on you if you will be nice to people. He didn't make the commandment hard or impossible. He made it very easy. It's behavior control. Kind and gracious, and we can do it. If we put the burden on ourselves of defining love by how we feel about someone, then it is impossible. We don't accept bad behavior from our children, and God doesn't accept it from us. He's asking the same thing we ask, what we insist our children do. Stop name calling, stop hitting, stop accusing and blaming, Stop treating each other mean. Just be nice. Just be nice. Even if you don't feel like it. So, that's the replace the face. Be nice to others and you're being nice to Jesus. Don't have to like them. You don't have to feel it. And you don't have to beat yourself up. In fact, after you're really nice to somebody, while you're not liking how they're acting, you can go home and say, you know what? I still don't like them. I still don't like what they did. I still am offended. But you know what? I was nice to them. So I feel really good about how I dealt with it. You can feel good about yourself, even if you don't like somebody. Well, you don't like the enemy, really. That's who you don't like. God has treated you well. I have treated you well. And if you treat other people well, you can abide inside of agape love. You give the little love out there in your behavior, God will pour his big agape love on you. In the goodness of God, he's just wrapping you up in his goodness. So when we do good things, we do feel good. Well, we can feel real good because God, it's so excited. Rather than caring what that person is thinking about you, let's care that God is being pleased. That makes everything worth it. To me, this whole thing is so simple. Just be nice to people because you're being nice to Jesus. That makes it doable, and the rewards are great. Well, there's tons of inner healing on our website. Just go listen to a bunch of them because it's amazing how God can change everything in your thinking and your emotions, you know, through that.
Cool.
It's miracle stuff.
Lord, I need my ring rewired. I've got shorts everywhere.
He can do that too.
I know.
He can do that too. All things in his time. All things are made beautiful in his time. To every season there is a purpose. To every season there is a reason. It's almost like if you'll just be a little bit nice, God can release his big love into that person through you. You might not even be aware of it. You could simply say a kind word to somebody in a store, and God could just melt their heart, and you don't even know he did it. But he can move through that open door of kindness, mercy, forgiveness, whatever you're needing to show.